Yes, sir, we promised you a great man.
Look at that here.
Nick Andre!
The China! WrestleMania!
WrestleMania is running wild!
My God, what?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one sports and recreation podcast on planet Earth, the Cheap Heat Podcast. My name is Peter Rosenberg. I'm joined by Stat Guy Greg. And I want to start off before we go anywhere with a couple of things I forget to do sometimes. I need to plug my other personal podcast, Rosenberg Radio. So if you listen to Cheap Heat and you want to hear me do like my own music thing where I play random mixes, I talk about random things, usually music related, but sometimes wrestling, like where I put my Renee Young podcast, things like that. Go subscribe to Rosenberg Radio right now. And also, because I have to go through legal procedures with ESPN that I don't have to go through on that, last week we did a whole thing that I wasn't able to include because I hadn't gotten my official clearance from the record label yet. But on my own podcast, yeah, I didn't. They never heard it. The people. That's why you didn't see any tweets about it. SGG. No one heard my theme song.
No, that's ridiculous.
Well, and by the way, it's like I actually got to give a shout out to my boy Sam Crespo at Atlantic Records, who tried to get it done for us. And you know, Gabe. Shout out to Gabe who handles ingesting our podcast. And he has to deal with me basically being a jerk to him all the time because he handles all the legalese and making sure, you know, podcasts don't get in trouble for playing music. I explained to him, I'm not going to get in trouble for playing Nipsey Hussle, but his job is to protect ESPN and make sure no one gets in trouble. So I get it. However, there is a song called Grinding All My Life on the new Nipsey Hussle album. Go buy it right now on iTunes. Go
Which is really,
listen to it on
it's
Spotify.
A good album, too. I listened to it.
Phenomenal album. The whole album is phenomenal. But Grinding All My Life will one day be my official WWE theme song. So I'm working with the label right now to get us to be able to play it permanently on this show. That's a goal of mine. Actually, matter of fact, if you love the song, feel free to at Nipsey Hussle and Atlantic Records and say, yo, I heard this song. I heard Rosenberg talking about this song. It's fire. But anyways, go check out Grinding All My Life, and I will go play it on the Rosenberg Radio podcast. I'm going to put up one of those this weekend where I don't mind taking the risk that someone's going to pull my podcast. And what else did I have to plug? I don't remember, but it's at Rosenberg Radio. It's at Stat Guy Greg, and I try to check every email that comes to rosenbergbeats@gmail.com. That's it. SGG, how are you, friend?
I'm doing great. How you doing, man?
I'll tell you what. I've had an annoying, slow recovery from Las Vegas last weekend. I don't know why. Like, it's not like I've been jet lagged and I can't go to sleep when I get home. I was only there for 2 days. So it's not like I ever adjusted to Vegas time. In fact, I didn't. I really stayed basically on just on New York schedule. But that long ass flight back leading straight into a day of work, it just took its toll on me. And,
yeah, you can't escape that.
Yeah. Like some weeks, like, so I think I could have. When I normally have no problem with it is, it's like Chicago, let's say. I wake up Monday morning, I fly home at 10 a.m., no problem. But starting the week with that red eye is just trash. It's a rough, and I'll have one more to do. There's a pay-per-view in like San Jose in September that I'll have to eat it one more time. But anyways, I'm not going to complain about the time I had in Las Vegas. I had a great time. Happy belated birthday to Corey Graves. We celebrated Corey Graves' birthday.
Did he get another tattoo for this birthday?
No. But he did successfully avoid a beatdown from Booker T, which is not easy. You know what I'm saying?
He got yoked up, though. I saw the picture. He might have avoided the beatdown, but I didn't see.
You didn't. The highlight of the weekend in terms of Corey Graves and Booker, more than the picture, Jonathan Coachman did a Facebook Live where he interviews Booker. And Booker's screaming about Corey. It is hilarious. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think today's Big E's birthday.
I'm not sure, but it might be.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Do you want to guess his age, or do you want to go 6 for 6. I've been listening to Hot 97.
No, I will not risk it. You heard that in the morning? I can't risk that.
I did.
Yes. March 1st, 1986. March 1st.
So happy birthday to Big E.
Yeah, so big shout out.
Who incidentally is number one on my Black Power rankings this week.
Whoa, but that's a preview. You know what? You know what? It may be March 1st, SCG, but we're starting with the Black Power rankings.
Woo!
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all. I'm blickety black, blacker than black, black. I'm blacker than black, yo, because I'm black, and I'm black. Yo, I'm black.
Black History Month doesn't end here, SGG. What do you got?
All right, so honorable mention to the young man who's going to be receiving the Warrior Award at this year's WrestleMania. They announced on Monday, Jarius Robertson. We'll discuss more about that later because I have something to say about that. But definitely honorable mention to him. That's a great look for him to be able to be recognized for everything that he does for New Orleans and the community and keeping people's spirits up down there. Number three is Titus Worldwide. Because even though they've been on the losing end of the past two matches that they were in with the Bar, they're shaping up to be really good. And the tag team division on Raw is starting to look, you know, just as good as SmackDown's tag team division, if you ask me. They still have the Revival waiting in the wings. Titus Worldwide is developing nicely. They have the Bar. So even though they lost Rollins and Ambrose and Rollins and Jordan, they still have a decent division that they can build up. Number two, Sasha Banks, for her performance in the Women's Elimination Chamber, which I thought was really masterful. Even right to
masterful,
the end. I don't want to
strong.
Yeah, I don't want to call it a turn on Bayley, because it is every woman for itself, but that ruthlessness and that constant showing of being willing to do whatever it takes to become champion again, that desperation, I think, is a good look for her character. And and at number one is Big E, because he, more so than anybody, I think, really shined in that promo on SmackDown between the New Day and the Usos. And before I got to watch it, my boy Henry texted me. He told me, you know, after you see this promo, Big E might shoot up to number one on your Black Power rankings. And I watched it, and they all, the five of them, let's not even mince any words here. Like, they all do great work together, the five of them. But if I have to pick a standout for the promo, which I didn't have to, but I did anyway, it's the birthday boy Big E coming in at number one.
Mage, happy birthday, Big E. What bigger celebration could he possibly get?
Yeah, what higher honor is there? Honestly.
No, this is it. This is the only thing, the only place to go.
Yeah.
Let's start outside the ring, SGG. Some interesting things going on in the world. What do you got?
And I think we're going to ruffle some feathers with some of this stuff outside the ring. Because there's two stories that I know one of them you have a strong opinion on, and the other one I know I have a strong opinion on. And, you know, we're personalities here, so we're just going to – that's what we do. We give our opinions. So we're probably going to ruffle some feathers with this one. But there's a lot of Fox and WWE rumors swirling around that maybe Fox is going to – I've read somewhere might outright buy WWE. I've read that there's TV contracts that they're negotiating for, but rumors are swirling.
Well, and particularly the supposed offer out there that they are so hot and heavy to get Raw that they would put Raw on Fox proper, over-the-air television, and then put SmackDown on FS1. That's how big a play this is for them. Like, let's just, you know, they've been wanting to turn FS1 into a competitor for ESPN for a very long time. And that is a tough putt. They just can't get the eyeballs. And putting Colin Cowherd there,
putting Skip Bayless there, Jason Whitlock, whoever, hasn't done that much to bring the eyeballs. So they're willing to do that much, including including putting Fox, putting Raw for the first time ever on network television.
Yeah.
To land WWE. That is a power play that makes you think it's possible. And it'll be very interesting to see what happens here. You know, yeah. I really... Go ahead, SGG.
I was going to say, but we're booger eaters, so what do we know? You know what I mean? That's what I was going to say. Because that's what irritated me about this whole thing, is that there was a particular gentleman who was running around all smiley and happy to be there. And I feel like he just didn't keep that same energy that he had when he was behind his microphone on his radio show discussing wrestling and wrestling fans.
Now let's break this down for everyone, okay? If you've never heard Colin, let me be clear about the first thing. Colin Coward's I'm not a fan, but he's an amazing radio personality. He will make you sit in your car to wait and be mad at him. Like, he's that good as far as like teasing something and making you be like, damn, I have to hear what he's going to say about that. He is incredibly, incredibly good at that. Anyways, in doing that, he has made me angry about wrestling many times. I've just been listening in my car on a random day when he used to be on ESPN. I haven't, of course, heard him since then, because let's be honest, it's been crickets. But I used to hear him on ESPN radio, and he would go off on wrestling. He referred to wrestling fans as booger eaters. He would talk about, really go into like more, a lot of like serious angry takes about wrestling, about just like drugs and health issues and people kind of treating themselves badly and deserving what they get, and callous. He was callous to the performers. He was callous about the product. He showed zero respect for it as an art form in any way. And then he was mean about the fans. Now, the mean part about the fans, listen, that is the easiest thing to point out, is booger eaters. To be honest, it's the most harmless thing. That's really just trolling. That's just straight up trolling. He's on the radio. He wants people to get mad and call up. That's all that is.
Yeah.
But the other stuff, the things that he has said after wrestlers have passed away, that bothers me. And I don't care if it, even if it puts me in a slightly weird spot, because obviously if this is all good for business, then I'm all in favor of Fox winning over WWE. If it's best for WWE, listen, I'm down. But if, I'll tell you right now, if they said, change your tune and say Colin Cowherd loves wrestling, or leave, don't work here again, I would not work there again. I'm not saying I wouldn't, he could apologize, but for him to just show up and act like it's all good. And then I even saw a little piece of his show the next day. And when he was talking about his experience there, he was like, oh, you know, I laughed for 2 hours. All he could manage to say was that he laughed for 2 hours. And then was like, you know, and then Whitlock, who will literally say anything. I mean, this is a man who will never.
He's another one. He
will never sniff the Black Power rankings, okay? Let me be very clear.
Never.
So he jumps in and is like, oh, yeah, you know, WWE. I used to watch it as a kid. Everyone's favorite line. I used to watch it as a kid. He said, you know, Whitlock jumps in. I used to watch it as a kid, you know, and maybe I'll be watching a lot more of it. And then Coward jumps in and is like, oh yeah, coming to a network near you. So like they're making just the very obvious full court press. They're not even disguising what it is. Ultimately, this deal will not have anything to do with Colin Coward. This deal will be about making things that make sense.
Right.
And Colin Coward is not bringing them major ratings. So it won't matter whether Coward doesn't like it or not. Now, granted, he'll never say anything negative about it again, but it won't make a difference. This is about the fact that WWE could bring more eyeballs to Fox and FS1 than anything else could. But yes, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to mince words about it. There are very few things. I'm used to people saying things about wrestling. We've talked about this before. I am not sensitive about it. But there have been things that he said about specific wrestlers and about the business overall that I actually do find offensive. It's fine for you to say you think it's stupid. It's fine for you to say you don't understand why grown men are into it. None of that stuff bothers me. I really don't care.
Does he understand now, though? He was just there on Tuesday. He had a great time. Is he going to say that? No.
I mean, no. But by the way, he may not have had a great time. You know what I mean? Like, who knows? You know, I hit up a mutual contact who I know was there with him. And I said, wow, you took Colin Cowherd with you to SmackDown. He's like, yeah, you know, he used to love it as a kid. He had a great time. He was a fraud. It was totally fraudulent behavior. All he had to say was, I'm not going to go. Don't worry. I'm not going to say anything about it. He didn't have to go show up and posing a picture with people who didn't know who he was. Like, you can tell no one knew. Everyone I've asked about it didn't know he was there until afterwards. No one really knew. Because at my first reaction, you know, I talked about this with Goldstein today. Back in the day, you know, he shows up, there's someone there who's
like,
yo,
problem.
Let me talk to you real quick, fam.
Yeah. Yeah. He shows up, he has a real problem. Especially like, the thing that annoyed me too, and you didn't really mention this, was like, he posts a picture with Charlotte after like dogging her father on his radio show. Like, what are you doing?
How did he dog Flair?
In one of his rants, he mentioned like how Ric Flair is basically, he's like, is Ric Flair there? He's old, he's washed up, but I bet you he's still showing up. Like, he needs the money and like all he can do is wrestle. Like, it's just corny to me. Like, that move was corny. Cause like you said, just don't go. If I spoke about something the way he spoke about wrestling over the years too, it's not like a random thing he said one time.
He's been trolling wrestling fans for a long time. This didn't just happen.
Yeah. So if I behaved the way he behaved over the years and then you invite me, as a man of integrity, I either have two choices. Don't go or start doing some real backtracking before I go. But I'm not going to show up and act like it never happened. Like, I don't know who I am.
Yeah. Anyways, we've given him enough time on the show, but it's super weak. Super duper weak. All right, SGG, outside the ring also, I'm reading right now an article that I just saw from today, I believe, that says John Cena versus Undertaker still reportedly scheduled to happen.
Now, we count that as outside the ring?
Well, yeah, because outside the ring Monday, you know, people started this conversation. One reporter said, Rey Mysterio is backstage, and it's reportedly going to be Mysterio and Cena at WrestleMania. I don't buy that.
I don't buy that either. They don't have enough time to pivot towards that. I mean, but you know, they haven't really started the Cena Undertaker thing either, so I guess they could, but I don't see that being the money match. And I don't see how they would make it make sense.
Yeah, I just don't think it's money. They have time if they want to. Okay, by the way, sorry. I know we said we were done, but I just saw there's an article about it. Here are some quotes from Cowherd. It was like a rock concert, he said of the experience. If you haven't gone to WWE, it's loud, there's bikinis, there's fireworks, there's onstage performance, there's a lot of interaction with the crowd. It was fun. I had a blast. It's really a professionally run organization, and it was a hoot. We laughed for 2 hours. You know, this is not a real compliment. You are just simply saying words. First of all, let me start over real quick. There were not bikinis. There were not fireworks. So where do we go from there? I mean, unless you're talking about men in bikinis, Because you're talking about men being in trunks.
Right.
But the women were not wrestling in bikinis. And, Greg, when was the last time there was pyro at a WWE show?
The last time I can remember is WrestleMania.
Clown shoes.
So unless you've seen the
Coward,
future.
Clown shoes.
And you asked a good question. You said, where do we go from here? We go back to the beginning of the Colin Coward conversation, because you started it where we honestly should have ended it, but then we would look like haters without giving the listeners more context, and that is that Colin Coward is a fraud. That's the only way to say it.
And by the way, and this is why I've never been that guy, and it limits me as a broadcaster. Like, there is a difference between me and a lot of other broadcasters, because I don't make up stands. Like, I take my stands that I take, and they are what they are. Sometimes I regret them and change my mind. Sometimes I don't. But I don't, like, just do things to do it. You know what I'm saying? Because maybe yeah. Coward never meant anything he said in the past, and he was just trolling. I don't do that. I don't do that. Or maybe you're just lying now because it makes sense business-wise. I don't do that. I just don't do it. Like, I'm sorry. The truth is, people will say, like, you know, you have to respect blank. You know, I have people that I battle with in radio all the time. Well, you have to respect him because, you know, he gets people to listen. No, I don't have to respect him.
No, yeah. Yo.
I don't. Yo, you gotta respect that drug dealer. I mean, man, he earned a lot of money. You gotta respect that. No, I don't.
No. Nope.
I respect people who make an honest living.
I asked the question. Oh man, I just dropped my phone, but I asked the question the other day. It was like, I know that I have to respect people's rights to have an opinion or to, like, do certain things or live the life that they live or whatever, but do I have to respect, like, I have to respect their right to do it, but do I have to respect the thing that they do also? Like, do I have to respect their opinion also is what I asked. But it's true, like, what you say about Colin Coward. Like, okay, I respect his right to go be a fraud and troll, but do I have to respect that he did it and that it made good business sense for him one way or the other? No.
Yeah, no. I don't. No. It's literally, I'll be honest, it's literally the opposite of what I respect. So, yeah, I know. As I started the conversation with, incredible at radio. Don't respect it. Okay, SUG, no more of that. No more. So,
CM Punk and Wade Barrett are supposed to host a Netflix show. Together?
I saw something about that.
Maybe. It's weird. So the show is going to be sort of like the American Ninja Warrior show that airs on ABC, but it's going to be on Netflix, and it's called Ultimate Beastmaster.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Well, I guess we've said enough about that,
I mean, no, listen, good for them. Get that check. And maybe I'll even stop by it sometimes and see what's up with it. But we wasted too much time with Colin Coward to waste more time on a Netflix, even though I love Netflix, to waste time on a Netflix show that we may or may not watch just because. Although, listen, I know there are people who are upsetting. The people who chant CM Punk at every wrestling event, no matter where they are on planet Earth, they're chanting CM Punk at their Netflix right now.
I'm sorry
to them. But, SGG, let's talk about, I guess we start with the pay-per-view, because I'm tempted to jump right into Roman Reigns' incredible work on Monday. What did you think of the pay-per-view?
I really enjoyed it. I really did. I thought the women's elimination chamber was really good, and I thought the men's elimination chamber was also really good. I like Braun Strowman's performance was... I like him being the unstoppable monster. And I know that there are people who, you know, they are upset that Roman Reigns won again. I'm not one of those people, though. I like Braun Strowman's performance. I think he looked really strong. And I think Sunday he didn't lose anything by losing to Roman Reigns. He set a record that's probably not going to be broken, right? He eliminated 5 people in the Elimination Chamber. That's his forever. Because when are they going to...
Yeah, no, I mean, until they find the next Andre the Giant, that's his, you know? Like, I don't know who takes that. But I love that they left it that you could get one more.
Yeah.
Could have gotten one more. But I agree with you. And listen, I'm not telling people they have to love Roman Reigns and Brock if that's not what you're excited about. I'll be honest. I don't think there's a Brock match on the board I would have been excited about, like, you know, super duper excited about. But I'll tell you this. I don't think Braun lost anything either. That was not my concern at all. I don't think, you know, if you really thought like, yo, Seth is starting to go, like that would have been amazing. I get it. Cause I think Seth winning would have been amazing. I still wouldn't rule out Seth being involved in the main event though. I still wouldn't rule that out, somehow. We'll see. But, yeah, I don't have an issue. I don't have an issue with what Braun did in that match. I thought it was generally a good match. And let's be honest. I mean, I don't know. Has Roman had a really big, when was Roman's last really big win? Cena?
Yeah, which was for like bragging rights. It was for love, respect. Like he didn't get a championship out of it. So there's that. And that, and like that's the other thing. People are like, oh, Roman Reigns in the top spot again, but he hasn't really been like, he's been upper mid card, but he hasn't been WWE champion for almost 2 years. He has some Universal title championship opportunities, but he hasn't been Universal champion yet. So like, he's been around, but he hasn't really been the guy.
So that, which is ironic because really he is the guy. So in terms of what that sets up for us, if it is Brock and Roman, as it appears to be, like I said, for me, that just wasn't the match. You know, I think everyone has to be realistic about what WrestleMania is. And the fact that you already know you're getting Nakamura, AJ, that is a wrestling nerd fan's dream match.
Yep.
Okay?
And we better enjoy it because that's the one they gave to us to keep us quiet.
So the idea that you're going to complain, and some people did. I was getting tweets about this. You're going to complain because the main event, quote unquote main event, is Brock. Who cares? Who cares what the main event is? The match, it's going to be one of, it's on the card.
Right.
And my guess is it'll be in the final three matches.
Yeah. And I think those complaints arise out of the fact that wrestling fans, while we love that wrestling has grown and is becoming like this really global thing, we also can't handle it because that then means that they have to cater to other people, other markets, other audiences. And so, like you said, we get the AJ Nakamura match, but that means another match that maybe they can sell the names and bring in more eyeballs would get on the card that we don't necessarily want to see, but it's, you know, that's the part of the show that's not for us. You know what I mean? Like a Pitbull and Flo Rida concert was the part of the show that's not necessarily for us. It's just for the rest of the world, I guess. And that's just how it's going to be. You know, like if we don't want it to go back to the days of them in the arenas.
Yeah, listen, that is what WrestleMania is. And I don't always love everything. Listen, I don't understand when, what was that actor dude who wrestled a couple years ago from Arrow or whatever?
Oh, yeah, Stephen Amell? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Bro, I didn't know who that guy was, and I don't know why he's involved in a storyline. But listen, I get it. That's part of what it is. There's some, I just pick my battles, you know? Like, there's some things that are really worth being like, no, this is trash. I really have no interest in this. It's like, you're offending my sensibility. That's not Brock and Roman, man.
No, like, it's not.
And then let's be honest. Roman has that match, comes back on Raw Talk. I think gives you a sort of a, gives you a, I loved him on Raw Talk. You know, I think that, you know, some people, if John Cena was over dramatic on Raw Talk, I think that Roman hit like the perfect real tone.
Yeah.
On Raw Talk.
And it was a real contrast too, because I believe they went in back to back. So it was just like, oh, Stephanie McMahon in
Steph
between
was in
them.
The middle.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, by the way, that was a crazy, when they showed me the lineup for Raw Talk, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, this is a serious episode of Raw Talk. So and then Monday, your man comes out and gives the best promo of his career, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. That promo that he gave against Cena when Cena wasn't there was strong. And maybe that's what they just need to do. They just need to have him do these work shoot promos against guys who are like really big but don't show up for whatever reason, and just let him go at it, because those work out really well for him.
I loved it. I love that. And I love that we get near WrestleMania and there's like a storyline that you can't tell whether it's real or not. Doesn't yeah. it seem like that? Like, so without true. Fail, without fail. Wow, I'm watching Raw Talk back for the first time. I look tremendous in the Mr. Perfect outfit.
Yeah, I like how what you did thoughts? That too, though. You had two different outfits for the night. I don't know when you changed or why, but big ups.
Different show, baby. And I lost the suit. I'm not doing suits anymore unless it's like WrestleMania. That's not me. It's not me. I'm supposed to be me, right?
Yeah, that's who they signed the checks to.
Sport coat and a wrestling t-shirt is me. I'm wearing a vintage Mr. Perfect, baby. He's staring me right in the face. Damn, I'm lit out here. Sorry, I'm just kidding.
That shirt was fire, though. I was like, damn.
No, that's an original. That's super duper facts. So I'm excited about it. I'm excited to see if there's any truth to, like, listen, maybe the Dana White picture's old. Maybe it's a complete work. I don't know. That's what I love. Give me something to make Roman and Brock more interesting. Cause listen, I'm not going to sit here and sell you guys on, like, that's what I'd been dreaming about was Roman and Brock. But part of that for me is that I mean, this is not the most popular thing to say, but at times I think Brock has just run his course.
Yeah.
You know, him not being around, you know, it ends up, there's some detrimental things about that.
Yeah. The mystique of it is gone. And, we said this before too. They're past the point where they can send Paul Heyman out to fill that gap. I think every time he wins, the fans are at the point where we just want our title back. That Universal title belongs to Brock. Yes, he gets to carry it, but it belongs to the company and the fans just as much as it belongs to Brock. And we want our title back on TV. So every win that he gets is more time that we don't get to spend with our Universal champion, and more importantly, our Universal championship. And I think that's what people... like, that's why people are over it at this point. It worked the first time around, but they went to that well again, and it hasn't been good this year. It just hasn't.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you and I are on the exact same page. Brock can give you great moments. I mean, listen, I popped big for when Braun and Brock started just straight up fighting for a moment in that last pay-per-view. At the Rumble, but overall, yeah, this just wasn't going to be the match I think I was most geared up for. We'll see, though. I'll tell you what, Roman took a good step towards me being more interested with what he did on Monday night. SGG, you mentioned the Women's Elimination Chamber. I didn't get to say much about that yet. Guess what they reminded us of? Alexa Bliss can actually wrestle a little bit.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Sometimes they make it easy to forget that our Raw Women's Champion can kind of go and do some cool things. Because
yeah,
I get it.
Twisted
you want
Bliss
her to be,
is a beautiful maneuver.
Oh, dude, Twisted Bliss is amazing. And Twisted Bliss comes off the top of the pod, which, by the way, SGG, how is that not the end of the match?
Yeah, I don't know. It should have easily been the finisher. Especially
right?
When Mickie James gets a pin with that, like it was a Luthez press or something like that. It was kind of weak. They bigged it up for it, but it was like that move was weak to come down from the top of the pod with that. But she got a pin.
Yeah. Yeah, I just feel like Twisted Bliss comes off the top of the pod. Boom, boom, boom. Let's get out. But I enjoy, as I've told you many times in this podcast before, I do not believe the Alexa Bliss, Sasha Banks story ended fully. So I always enjoy seeing them mix it up. Bayley and Sasha, you talked about that. I hope that ends up on the card. But the one thing, SGG, is the slight turn, however you want to describe what happened between Sasha and Bayley in the Elimination Chamber. You turn around on Monday, and it's Bayley who walks away from Sasha.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it feels half pregnant. What are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, that's
I don't want, not, I don't want them, I don't want them, I don't want them to both be a little bit bad.
So we'll see. I don't think Bayley was being bad. I think Bayley was, that was some self-care. That was self-care. Cause how many times is Sasha gonna be selfish before you also are selfish and take care of yourself?
And SGG, I agree with you. However, it was interesting cause on commentary, I believe Coach and Michael Cole, I think, I forget, it was a combination, were basically like, well, Bayley's not being a professional. That wasn't a professional. So the fact that the commentators kind of went against Bayley made me think, wait, where are we going here? Does that make sense?
Nah. Yeah, Bayley can't be the one to turn, though. Like, and I don't think that was a turn. She can be the one to turn, but I don't think Bayley turning on Sasha is a thing at this point, because throughout the course of their friendship, Sasha's been the selfish one. Sasha's been the one who has taken every opportunity to be like, well, it's every woman for herself, so like, we'll do what you gotta do. And I guess that's the difference, which is like, they were on a team, so this time it wasn't every woman for herself, but they actually had to work together. But I don't think that was necessarily heelish. I don't think that was necessarily unprofessional or like Bayley being a bad guy. But I guess, like you said, they're just trying to plant the seeds of doubt to make us watch both of them and see who's going to be the one to really fully make that turn. I still don't think it's going to be Bayley, though.
You know what I would say to Bayley if I had the opportunity?
What's that?
Like a wise man once said, enough is enough. It's time for a change.
Speaking of that, you just reminded me. So on Twitter last week, I don't know the @ of the person, and I'm sorry, but someone asked us, who are our top 10 Hall of Fame snubs, I should say. So you said we would do 5, and I think now would be a good time for us to get into our top 5 Hall of Fame snubs.
Well, you obviously did preparation, so you go ahead, Greg. I clearly did not. And give me your top 5, and then after that, we'll get into Ronda Rousey.
I think we'll agree with this one, though. Number 1, Owen Hart. Like you said, enough is enough. It's time for a change. His whole family's in there, basically. His father's, mother's in there.
But see, you can't even call that a snub, though, because you know that they want him in. So that's why I would say, if you would say top 10 people who belong and aren't there yet, 100% agree with you. However, if it's snub, I can't call it a snub because they want him in.
Well, he's not in there right now. And I guess you're going to say that about the second person on my list, too. I have China here. She's not in the Hall of Fame either.
I think China's closer to a snub because she could have gone in already.
Yeah. Yeah. And number 3.
You know what I'm saying? Like she could have gone in while she was alive.
Yeah, and she should have, honestly. She should have. They have that quote attributed to Triple H about her not being in because, like, when you Google her name, what are you going to find? But that's a cop-out, honestly. If they put out enough good publicity for China, they can bury all of that on, like, the 40th page of a search.
Well, and yeah, exactly. I mean, I think there was a time when I think that probably would have been true. I don't think that's true anymore.
Yeah.
I think at this point that you could spin that into being a really good story.
Yeah.
All right. Well, keep going.
All right. That's two. Just really quickly, my three is Vader. Just because I think he was really dominant in WCW. Not necessarily his WWE years, but in Japan and WCW before he arrived in WWE, he was really dominant.
You know, that's a really – how often has Vader been talked about? Because Vader's a pretty interesting choice.
Yeah, I think he's a solid choice, though. Like, multiple world championships, easily could have been a world champion in WWE if they used them right. I don't think they did, but that's another story.
All right, keep going.
Yeah, number four, Miss Elizabeth.
Oh, that's
definitely.
She should have been number one to me.
Like, long overdue.
I wonder what the exact logic is there, whether there's a family component. I don't know.
Yeah, Macho Man and Liz.
I mean, she is. I mean, man, you could argue she's, you know, first ballot.
Easily, like, and just from like the storylines alone, her story arc in the 80s was so incredible. I really believe that Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth is the reason why people have described wrestling as a soap opera for men, because they come in and he's like the jealous boyfriend, borderline abusive, and he's super possessive, but she sticks by him for whatever reason. Then they join up with Hulk Hogan. Hogan's dirty macking. They break up. He gets with Sherry. He goes on to new heights. He's the king. And then when it looks like he doesn't have the stuff anymore, Sherry dumps him in front of everybody on the grandest stage of them all. And who's there for him when that happens? Miss Elizabeth. They get married and they ride off into the sunset. And that's like a good 6-7 years of wrestling right there. Just watching them go through it.
Can we rewind a little bit? What word did you use to describe Hogan? Did you say dirty Mackin?
Dirty Mackin, yeah. He knew that she belonged. He knew that she was with Randy Savage. He knew that they were together. He knew that they were in love.
But you now have your anger towards Hulk Hogan now is carried. It's gone. Now it's going all the way back throughout history. It's changing everything. And you're now saying that since we know for a fact he has a thing for his friends' wives, you're now letting that inform you here as well.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Macho Man had a history of being crazy and irrational going into it. But when he looked at Hulk Hogan and pointed that finger in his face and said, "You got jealous eyes, man," he was right. And we should have listened to him. We should have listened to him.
Another scorching hot take. All right, keep going. Was that your last one?
No, last one is Terry Funk solo. He's in there with his brother, but I think his career by itself, independent of his brother and the Funk family, is definitely Hall of Fame worthy. Might even be still going. I don't know if he officially retired again yet.
All right. I'm going to choose people who are not related, who are not like remotely active now. I'll leave out The Rock, you know, anyone who's kind of still around. All right.
That sounds fair.
Yeah, I'm not going to say The Undertaker. And how about, I'm not going to give you an order either. I'm just going to name ones. The British Bulldogs.
Oh, the tag team, the British Bulldogs.
That's right. I mean, listen, you can put in Davey Boy by himself. I'm fine with that. But you also might as well just put them both in. Dynamite Kid is alive. He's a... supposedly, you know, I got to read his book, but he's supposedly a pretty miserable fellow,
right?
And has not done well physically. But the British Bulldogs are iconic. There's just no way they were as over a babyface tag team as we've ever seen.
Yeah, light years ahead of their time too. Like, Can you imagine if they were around in the 90s for the British Bulldogs versus the Steiner brothers, or the British Bulldogs versus the Dudley boys?
I know Dipperstein feels strongly about another one. I'll throw it in, too, in the tag team conversation. Demolition.
They're not in
it? No.
That should have been an easy one for WWE.
The Axe and the Smasher, their demolition, walking disaster. Now you want to go outside and someone who wasn't really that involved in WWE but was an icon, Bruiser Brody. Has to be a Hall of Famer. Regardless of anything, I just think in terms of if you go back and you look at the mythology around Bruiser Brody, man, and how made she was, just think he deserves to be there.
Even now, like, there's so much mystique around him and, like, how iconic he was.
Oh, yeah, it's never changed. Let's see. You know, he spoke there last year, but he's not in. How about Jim Cornette?
Yeah, I would love to see Jim Cornette in the Hall of Fame, though.
Who did Jim Cornette induct again?
Was it the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Not the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Rock and Roll Express? Yes.
Yeah, yes. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I think Cornette would be a good choice. And guess what? Listen, since they're going to go ahead and put in Jeff Jarrett, who's essentially, I mean, yes, of course he had a WWE run, but he's essentially just a promoter of other territories. How about Jim Crockett?
I thought you were going to go another way. I thought you were going to say Eric Bischoff, but Jim Crockett is just as good, though. Because
I mean, he's more important than Bischoff, in my opinion.
Easily.
Yeah, I mean, Bischoff had a run for a while, and of course he had a run in WWE, and I have no problem with him being a Hall of Famer at some point. But Jim Crockett, man, JCP, baby, Jim Crockett Promotions. You know, listen, Eddie Graham's in.
Yeah, and I mean, like, listen, you don't have to sell me on that, because Jim Crockett Promotions during the 80s was giving WWE a run for their money, like, you know, Ric Flair.
And just think about how many great things, you know, think about how many great, amazing talents and ideas came from that, you know? I mean,
yeah, they just bought back War Games. That was a Jim Crockett production, no pun intended, right?
Yeah, of course. It's just, listen, Jim Crockett Promotions is huge, and then he went did other stuff too. You know? Even if it wasn't his own promotion, it was just booking. But so anyways, that's five for me, I think. But I also agree with Miss Elizabeth. There's a few.
The Axe and the Smasher is a strong. That is, it's crazy that they weren't in yet, just because they.
I'll tell you. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say they held down the tag team division. If you want to talk about the tag team division in the 80s, you pick two of the teams that really held it down, and really made that tag team division something to watch.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Yo, is the Hammer in?
Greg the Hammer? Yeah, I think he's in.
I'll tell you what. I'd consider at some point. Your distant cousin, Bad News Brown.
Yo, long overdue. Long overdue, Bad News Brown.
You know, his run, and by the way, guys, that wasn't simply a race joke. Remember, we learned last week he actually was from Harlem. He, between what he did in Canada and then in WWE, I mean, he was a main event heel for a bunch of different people and was really good at it. I'm going to say this. I know about some of the, there's two remaining Hall of Famers to go in this year, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, there are.
One of them is Mage. I'll just say that. One of them is Mage. I won't speak on the other one, but I'll say one of them is Mage. That's okay. All I'll say. All right, SGG, we got to talk about Ronda Rousey. A couple of things. Okay, so first of all, let me give you guys the inside baseball on Ronda Rousey. Met her on Sunday. Had met her one time before at SummerSlam in LA, just as a fan, obviously. So I have a great story about Ronda Rousey from Sunday. I see her in the hallway. She was with exactly two people when I saw her. A guy holding a camera and a woman who appears to be like her manager, or assistant, associate of some sort. She was not a diva. She was friendly. She was in the women's locker room. By the way, how funny is it, by the way? This is how lame wrestling fans are. At times, the annoying ones, sorry. I'm not going to go all Colin Cowherd. I love wrestling fans. Right. Here's how annoying wrestling fans are. Greg, you might have heard on the kickoff show me speculating about where she would get dressed. And yeah. then on Raw Talk, I said she got dressed with the other women. People were writing me and showing me the picture of Kurt Angle banging on the door and being like, you said she got dressed with everyone else. And I was like, you know what really annoys me about that? I try to do one little thing on Raw Talk that's actual inside, right? I try to give you one thing. Cause I can't like, you can't just go breaking, you know, it's a story. It's a show. You can't just go breaking the show, but I try to give you one little nugget. And then here you go saying that Kurt Angle was staying outside. Well, look at him. He's outside her dressing room. Two things. One, okay, what if that was like her room that she had because they had a room for her and her people, but she still got dressed in the women's locker room? Number one. And number two. And number two, how about you just enjoy getting a little inside nugget and not being a total D-nozzle?
I can respect it if these are people who are about that hashtag kayfabe only life.
That is a good point. I mean, listen.
But at the same time, though, they follow us. They listen to us. Let's be honest. They're not. That was just some hate.
Yeah, exactly. Most people who listen to this podcast, you're not, you can't be. You can't be. Can't be living that life. So anyways, saw her during the day with just a couple people. She was super cool. Nia Jax introduced me to her and she came over and I was like, this is
Nia Jax introduced you to Ronda Rousey?
Yes. And by the way, out of the blue, Nia is such a cool bleeping person that she did it just on some, we were standing in the hallway talking, Rhonda's walking down the hall, and she could really just see me like looking at her. And she was like, oh, have you met her yet? And I was like, no. And she's like, Rhonda, get over here and meet this fanboy. So Rhonda comes over. She's like, Rhonda, this is Peter Rosenberg. And I was like, hey. And she was like, did you shop at All Saints yesterday? Do you go shopping at All Saints? And I was like, why, yes, I did. Why? She's like, cause I went shopping there yesterday too. And the guys who work there told me that you came in. And I was like, wait a second. The dudes that work there who were super cool, by the way, shout out to the All Saints in Vegas. And that's where I got my jacket that I wore and another dope jacket. I was like, those dudes name dropped me to you. That's hilarious.
I was going to say it must have been a slow day at All Saints, but it couldn't have been Ronda Rousey showed up.
They just probably didn't know what to say. When you really think about it, it makes sense, right? Like they're talking to them like, so, you're here for WWE? Oh, yeah, another guy came in. Like it makes sense, but it's still hilarious. But, yo, shout out to those dudes for putting me over and making me look mage to Ronda Rousey. Shout out to y'all.
She was like, oh, I got to meet this Rosenberg guy.
I know. Oh, apparently he's mage.
He shops at All Saints.
Anyways, and then we just sat around and chopped it up for a few minutes and just super cool. Just a super cool person. As I remembered meeting her when I met her when she was just in her absolute prime of destruction, and she seemed super cool then. She seemed super cool now. And let's talk now about the promo. As I've said, I think I've already said this, her mic game needs work. Of course it's going to. If you've ever followed Ronda, Ronda's appeal was in the damage she inflicted in the ring. She wasn't cutting ill promos in UFC. That's just not, That's not who she was, and that's not who I'd expect her to be overnight. That is just not what you're going to get from her yet. So, you know, listen, some people made the argument, yeah, but she could have been further along when they did this. Totally hear you. At first, I was nervous, Greg. I'm not going to lie. I was on the monitor watching, and I was sitting there like, okay, come on. Because it's a scary experience for someone to walk out there and grab a mic to cut a promo.
It was a little shaky. You're talking about the Elimination Chamber promo.
Yeah. That one, it was nervous. I think all of us were nervous. But I'm sorry. First of all, props to Kurt Angle, who I thought was great in that bit.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle did a great job. Kurt is, you know, he can be hit or miss on mic. I thought Kurt nailed it. I thought he was the reason ultimately it worked. And like the way he was like, oh, and just threw in the last thing. Although Triple H, why, when you walked him away, you got to take his mic away. Once Kurt Angle says that final line, wait, didn't you say in your office that he's a has-been, she's a has-been and blah, 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 blah. Once that moment happens, from then on, it was gold.
Yeah.
And I admit the beginning was shaky and a little nerve wracking, though I found it very enjoyable to watch just because I was so nervous. But once Kurt hits that line and she puts Triple H to the table and Stephanie smacks her, I'm sorry, I don't know what more you would have wanted from that.
Yo, that what smack, do you think? Me and Crystal watched it and we noticed that like her hair was in the way when Steph got that smack off, and it still left a handprint. Imagine if her hair wasn't in the way to block some of that force of Steph's hand just coming across her face. Like, what would her face have looked like if her hair wasn't swooped over to the left like that? Because she took
It was... that was a... It was reminiscent of Velvet Sky slapping Peter Rosenberg. You know what I'm saying?
Less iconic than that, though. It was less iconic than that.
Well, no, of course. Now, but SGG, what was the consensus like? Like, I wasn't on Twitter at that time. What were people reacting like to the moment?
People were definitely reacting to that smack. Like, and it was the same impression that you would get from Jewel World Order that, you know, the mic game needs work. She had some defenders and a lot of detractors to her mic game, but, like you said, it did come together at the end, and that slap.
What? Slap heard around the world, fam.
Oh, my God.
Sliggity slapped. I mean, different kind of slap. Slapped a different temperature on her face.
It did. It really did. Like,
it was, you know, so I just enjoyed that. Now, Monday, let me put it this way. Considering we know what's going to happen here, it's been so widely publicized where this is going to go, I found Monday well done too. I thought Ronda was slightly improved Monday, and I think Stephanie playing the perfect daughter of Vince McMahon, the person who wants to get it done because she knows for business she needs Ronda Rousey, but at the same time, she's bad-mouthed her. She does want to use her. All those things. And she won't say it to her face because she's like sniveling and apologetic. I like the idea of Stephanie McMahon playing the Vince McMahon to Ronda Rousey Steve Austin. I know. Listen, it'll be interesting to see if it actually ends up being Kurt in the tag match, which you would guess that's where it's going to go based on what happened Monday.
I think so. Because, listen. This is the second time Triple H sucker punched Kurt in a 365-day period. So, at this point, Kurt can't send a representative out there. Like, Kurt needs to get that action. I'm sorry. It has to be Kurt.
The question is, though, just can Kurt work? You know, listen, Ronda and Stephanie ain't going to carry that match. So, can Kurt? You know what, though? Let's be honest. Triple H can carry that match, including carrying Kurt, right?
Yeah. Easily.
You know,
Triple
like
H still got it.
He'll do another couple loops leading up to it, get back in ring shape, get ready to go. I mean, we can all say whatever about Triple H. You can love him. You can hate him. A lot of people say, like, they struggle to name the what are the greatest Triple H matches. How about this? Show me the really bad ones. Show me the ones where Triple H wasn't able to do what he has to do. I think that's someone. Now listen, granted he's a little bit out of ring shape. It's not the same as having AJ work with Kurt Angle, but he should be able to do enough there. So we'll see, what ends up happening. But listen, I think Ronda has some stuff to deal with. I don't think this is a easy slam dunk cruise into success in WWE. But at the same time, if I was to grade what happened last weekend, that's a success to me.
Yeah, she doesn't get an A++++, but her
I'd give her. In fact, I'd give her. I think I'd give her a solid B to B plus. That's probably where I would put it.
Yeah.
But if your expectations were really high for her first thing ever, well, congratulations, you played yourself. You're just not being realistic. I'm sorry. SGG, should also be mentioned. Did you catch the ridiculous shade that I threw at Jerry Lawler on the kickoff show?
I did not.
Oh, come on. You didn't watch, did you? You didn't watch the kickoff show, did you?
I did watch the kickoff show. I did. I saw the reveal. I saw, unfortunately, I saw the Paul Heyman shade towards you.
Okay, so you saw Paul Heyman's son, me, but you didn't see what I said early on.
I didn't. See, that's the thing.
And by the way, I only got a couple of tweets about it, which means the wrestling audience isn't as accustomed to the sneak diss. Although I didn't think it was that sneaky. When they welcomed Booker T back, I said, "Welcome back to the only king I recognize, King Booker." That's such perfectly done sneak diss.
No, that was very well done. I apologize that we missed it.
And I thought you'd appreciate the term "only king I recognize." That's the kind of thing you would say about Booker T.
The only king we acknowledge, especially in February.
Especially in February. And then yes, Paul Heyman, yo, people are really ridiculous too. I know people hate me. I get it. I know the Reddit message board world hates my guts. I get it. But the fact that they could get so excited that Paul Heyman said, "Who are you?" We did a show together.
Right.
Oh, you know what? Listen, hashtag kayfabe only. Live your life. SGG. And while you're at it, I do want to those same people who were really excited about what Paul Heyman said to me, I just want you guys to also know this tension between Corey Graves and Booker T. Whew, it's boiling out of control. The pot is about to overflow. They had to be kept in separate.
Yeah.
It was like when I was a little kid and I heard that Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan had to fly on separate planes.
I heard they were only allowed in catering at separate times. Like Booker T had.
That's true.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, it was super awkward. SGG, will you do me a favor this weekend and
Oh yeah.
Stay mage.